And welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Free, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's the sound I make whenever you guys make it your Instagram stories. That's the king.
I've heard it happening real time.
You've been here when someone makes their Instagram stories and I pull up my notifications.
Yeah. What is that? And I go, okay.
Yeah. Someone just posted their Instagram, so that's what that was.
Yeah.
Instagram stories. That's what it feels like. And if you're listening right now, I want to let you know in on a little bit of an announcement. You might have missed it last episode. I want to make sure you got it. Ring that bell, Shelby. My debut stand-up album is out. It's out there. You can stream it everywhere. Apple Music. You can do Pandora. Spotify. You can share that too. Spotify has a fun little thing. The top right corner, there's like three little dots, and then you can share it straight to Instagram.
I've seen that. It's very clean, looks nice.
Clean look, great on the stories. I'd love for you to hit that three button. I would love for you to hit that, share it on your Instagram stories. The album is called Always a Mama Bear. It's out there. You can stream it. If you've already paying the whatever dollar a month for Apple Music or whatever streaming platform you use, you can listen to it, the whole album. It's right there. And some of you are like, what's a stand-up album? It's a night where you're like in the club with me. You're in the audience without having to be there. So you can sit there and in your car or at the gym, and if you close your eyes for a couple seconds, not too long on the road, you can feel like you're in the comedy club with me. We taped it this summer from Gotham Comedy Club. Such a fantastic night, and it's years of work coming to fruition. So it's not like this podcast where we just read the emails and we'll get to the show. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
It's a produced piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's my art.
It's at your best.
It's me at my best.
At your most polished.
Well, I don't want to say it's my most polished.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Thank you.
Okay.
But, you know, I think this is a good starting point. This is where, like, I want, you know, you want more from the stand-up. I want to be on the specials and all this stuff, but this is a good place. It's a nice little mile marker for me.
Yes, absolutely.
So get involved. Go listen. Always a Mama Bear. It's on all the streaming platforms. Just search my name, Jared Freed. Subscribe to me. Hit the thumbs up, Pandora. That's a real helpful thing. Here's what you don't understand, and this is, I like to let you guys in on the economics of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I was an econ major in college, so
okay.
This interests me. The world now revolves around streams and stuff. Every time my thing plays randomly on someone's phone, I get some little shekel in my pocket. I get paid. Wet my beak. So when you hit a thumbs up, that feels like something, you know, we've been conditioned to think that these likes and thumbs up and whatever, they're so we hold on to them.
Yeah.
But you can get me paid just by hitting that thing.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
Yeah, get me away from the poor people. That's what I'm trying to do. So I need you people to whatever you can touch on the screen that ups my album, do it.
Search the screen, people.
Tickle the twine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my announcement. This week, it's Tuesday. I'm going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin. Get those tickets, jaredfreed.com. Bring a crew. Because that album, I won't be doing any of the jokes off of that album. Whole new hour. That's right. A lot of ha's to be had.
That's so much comedy.
It's a lot of comedy. Mm-hmm. A lot of laughs. But listen, we all needed some laughs. Also, the next week after the high Jewish holiday, I will be doing the live you ups. Bring a crew, events, Columbus Day weekend, no excuse. So come on out. Miami, Orlando, Nashville, Atlanta. Very excited about today's guest, a new guest. It's taken way too long. I'm embarrassed. I'm very happy to have him on. Hilarious comedian, Anika White. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, Jared, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Took too long.
Brother,
my apologies.
No need, man. The pleasure. First of all,
I almost read your Instagram handle. Look at it, you're getting a double horn from Shelby. Very
appreciate
excited.
You, Shel.
I almost read your handle by accident. At Nico White 93. Go follow. Go support. So funny.
Please do. And that's NekoWhite93.
There it is. Neko. I've known Nico. I've known you forever.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
How long has it been? I think 6, 7, if not 8.
When
years?
Did you start?
I started in 07.
07.
Yeah.
You
I've been
started
doing comedy.
Before me.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing comedy 12 years, bro.
12 years. But you're how old?
26.
Which is weird because the thing is, it's so funny when you meet people doing stand-up. Mm. You know, we're at open mics, we're around the scene, whatever, in New York. And you meet Nico, and I'm like, this is an 18-year-old kid.
Yep.
And I remember you were like, and I remember when you turned 21, mm-hmm. We were at Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm having my first drink.
Having a drink. Yeah.
And you were like having a daiquiri.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this.
Going hard.
Do you feel like, you know, so how old were you when you started stand-up comedy?
So I was 14 when I started. I'm in high school first day, and my teacher, we had this thing called advisory class. So
okay.
It was kind of like a free period, but it was too early to send you home. So mm-hmm. You would either get advisory for 2 or 3 days out the week and have gym the other days.
Mm-hmm.
So my teacher asked if anyone had a talent. So this girl went up and sung a song, and I'm sitting there. Mind you, I've never been like, I was never the class clown or
sure.
anything like that. I was never that fun. You know what I mean? But I was always funny, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's how I stayed.
Well, you know what's funny about stand-up is like someone meets you and goes, you do stand-up? Well, tell us a joke.
And you're right, like, and that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. And then you're like, you know, stand-ups are more... You know, there are the class clown version of stand-ups.
I was always a people watcher.
Well, that's what I'm kind of saying is that I would say improvisers are more class clowns.
Yes, 100%.
Stand-ups are more whisper in the back of the class and
smart
tell you.
Alec.
Yeah.
And that was me. That was me all day. But I met a kid, my best friend to this day, a kid named Rodney. Rodney kind of looks like me.
Well, stand-ups are more haters,
like
if I was going to say. Like,
I mean, I ain't going to act like you're wrong because it literally gets to the reason of why
sure.
I found it. So first day of school is the orientation day, right? Mm-hmm. So I meet Rodney. Now, Rodney is my height. This nigga kind of looks like me, mm-hmm. and he sounds just like me.
Okay.
So the fucking first day of school, this girl named Crystal, nice looking skinny chick, right?
Mm.
Immediate first day crush. And everything Rodney's saying, she's fucking dying. Everything I'm saying, she's like, all right, Rodney, back to what you were saying.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm like, well, shit, I ain't got the best game. I'm kind of like, I wasn't a nerd. I was always like
sure.
nerd adjacent, the cool nerd.
Mm.
So it's like, I'm about to fade into fucking blackness in high school. I'm not going to get any pussy. So
yeah.
Next day, Ms. Richardson asked if anybody has a talent, and I watched this girl sing a song, and I'm sitting there, and something in my mind was like, go tell jokes. Go try
okay.
it. I went up and I tried it. She let me do 5 minutes, and it fucking worked.
Really?
Yep, it worked.
That girl's not talking to Rodney anymore.
Nah. I was the most popular kid in school from that day on.
So how do you find, like, I'm thinking of me at 14.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking like, well, now it's time to find the open mics.
My
like,
teacher, Ms. Richardson, she told me about open mics. Bro, I didn't know that you could even do this. I thought you had to go to school. I thought Martin and all those guys went to school to do this shit.
They went to.
I thought it was a college.
Clown you?
I shit you not. Yeah. I actually thought you'd go to school.
It's funny when you say, like, I didn't know this was a job. I don't think anyone knows it's a job. I feel the same way. I was like, mm-hmm. I didn't even think of like, how you become a stand-up comedian.
No.
You know, like, I guess I thought of it, like, it just never occurred to me.
Mm-hmm. My parents were so shocked by it, because I was doing it for 2 years before I invited them to mm-hmm. anything, right? And I did a documentary some years ago called One Mic, and my mom said, she's like, we were shocked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we had never heard him like tell a joke. We had never heard him curse. I was always funny, but I was never like the guy that stood up and asked for attention.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the misconception about stand-ups is like, mm-hmm. you're on stage, you love attention. It's like, no. No, I like...
I like peace. Yeah. I like quiet and solitude a lot more than you might think.
Yeah.
But I do have a little bit of attention whore in me now.
Well, you know what? You like getting a whole room of people on the same page.
Yes.
100%. And that's kind of the... It's like, you know, sometimes... when a joke works, it's like putting the last piece of the puzzle into the board. You're like,
100.
Ooh, you know they have those videos online where it's what do they call it? Like comfort porn?
Oh, the soothing videos. Like you'll watch somebody cut through some shit or something like that. Yeah. I hate to say that I kind of get off on those.
No, but that's so I get off a little bit. To me, I'm like when someone's like, I can't believe someone watches a honeycomb get the honey, but I'm no, but that's kind of the feeling I get.
Oddly satisfying.
There it is. I knew Shelby would have it. So I think it's oddly satisfying when a joke gets the laugh from the whole room. That's, I get that same feeling.
It's the need of acknowledgement and being positively acknowledged in those moments. Because I'm telling you, bro, whatever that was, I fell in love. And I was doing it 3 times a week in class.
Oh, in class.
In class.
How do you get up in class and do it?
Miss Richardson.
She was just say, give us the new 5?
It legit went like this. Okay, first day of school, fucking I'm falling into blackness. Second day of school, all right.
Who has a talent?
Now, that was a Friday. So Monday and Tuesday, I had gym. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, my classmates, who the fuck wants to do work? And
no,
if you
they
miss
wanna,
Richardson.
They'll take anything.
Right. So if you miss Richardson.
That's why Dark Crystal was a popular movie. Everyone's like, just put on a movie.
There you go.
Care. Yeah.
So for Miss Richardson, it gave her a period to catch up on some work. And it gave my classmates some fucking time.
Yeah.
Like 15 minutes to just be. And Lord knows it wasn't like a solid act. You know what I mean? I was just
course,
going up.
But it's your friend going up, and it's kind of cool. And
this nigga's getting you through the day.
Sure, but how old were you when you were at your first open mic?
14. So,
where do you go? Like, I'm wondering because it's like, you're 14, you're walking in there, and there's a bunch of 25-year-olds.
Yeah, but nobody really knew my age. You know what I'm saying? I would have to tell you how old I was. Now, mind you, you could look at my face and tell because I didn't have any facial hair.
Sure.
I still had my neck
hadn't
grown
seeing
into
you
my
and
face.
I was like, he's young, but like... You don't walk young.
Yes.
You know, you have an older demeanor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what kept me from getting, like, carded a lot of comedy clubs. First place I went was high. So when Ms. Richardson told me about open mics, I didn't know what the fuck that was,
dog. Yeah.
So I'm like, open mic, what does that even mean? So I didn't have a computer. I didn't have cable or anything like that. So they had, it's like a community center, the Children's Aid Society. Mm. So I went downstairs. I went around the corner, and I Googled open mics in New York City. And the Bad Slava list popped up.
Yep.
And that was a Monday.
For those of you listening, and this is very inside comedy.
Inside baseball, yeah.
Bad Slava is just a BADSLAVA is a directory where you can find any open mic all around the country.
Yes. And I hope that guy has made like millions of dollars
off
of it.
He helps a lot of people.
I hope he has
me included. I used to go through Bad Slava every morning. I would go through it and I'd be like, and I would make a schedule.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, here's the 10 o'clock, here's the 8 o'clock, here's the 9 o'clock, here's the 10 o'clock, here's the midnight.
I'm gonna pay you a compliment in a second. Yeah, it's gonna get real sappy for the people that listen to this podcast, but give me like a minute to get through the story.
I'll wait for my compliment.
Yeah. So I go and I look at the thing and I see they have High on Tuesday and they have Stand Up New York on Wednesday. Mm. So I go to High Comedy Club and you guys would never know this, but the High Comedy Club was like the bottom of the barrel of the barrel.
Yeah, the one thing it was known for was you would smell like fries.
Yes.
After being there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your spirit would also smell like fries
broken,
after being there.
You had fry spirit. Yeah.
So
what's the downside?
What's the downside?
Yeah.
This. So I walk in, right? And the people there were just like rude. And the guy, like Cisco, he's gotten much better as a human being.
Sure.
Like, but he gave me some good advice. I'll be honest. I came in. I'm dressed to the nines. I had on my Easter outfit, you know what I'm saying? Shades and all
that. You're ready to go to Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is how silly I was. I thought if I did this open mic and killed it, that I could retire.
Well, listen, you're not. What's interesting, and like to relate this to anyone that's sitting at home and like, you know, when you are young, and I was the same way. Mm-hmm. You think, well, if I perform here and do well here, they'll be like, oh, you're our new kid in town.
Yes.
We're going to take you under. And then you, I think the realities of life wake you up to, like, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Yeah. But it's not, I wasn't even thinking that far.
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't even smart enough to think that far. I was thinking, if I just go and I kill this, and I've done comedy successfully. Yeah. I've done it at school. I'm most popular kid in school.
Sure.
I've done it in a comedy club. I can retire.
Of course.
I literally was thinking about hanging my quote-unquote crown up after this open mic. So, nigga, I go on this mic. I sign my name up. I'm like number 22. And I'm the only one that still has, like, levity left in their spirit.
Sure.
So I'm laughing at every goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much to get a giggle out of me.
And your first open mic. You haven't done this 1,000 times
yet. No, I'm not bitter yet.
Yeah.
So now people are, like, dying dogs' deaths. So I'm like, well, damn, well, maybe these people just don't like these people, but I'm funny. I'll be fine. And thank God I started before starting on the open mic scene here. Because what people don't understand is that the open mic scene in New York City is a fucking cheese grater to your ego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's very tough to start here as someone who started here.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's pluses and minuses to everything.
Pluses and minuses to everything.
Whenever someone asks me for advice, I'm always like, just start.
Likewise. That's what I tell people too.
Just
I
don't get it. You know, they'll go, you know, the one thing you always hear from people that want to do comedy, they'll go, well, I'm writing out my first five first. I'm like, no.
That just ain't 5 minutes. Just do it.
It's the most physical art form. It's the only one you have to leave the house for.
You'll get up and think you have that 5 minutes, and then you'll be done with that shit so quick when it's not working. Because that's what happened to me.
And you'll a tear will run down your cheek, and you'll be like, well, I'm never doing that. It just sets you up for a bit of failure you're not expecting.
100%.
Yeah.
So now I do my set, and I'm thinking it's going to go well or whatever, and every joke is dying. And I had never bombed like this before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, if all else fails, my last joke always kills. The joke about my cousin shitting in the toilet and not flushing.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the joke. This is the reaction I got. I'll never forget it. Shit keeps me up at night. I got, and that shit crushed me, dog.
Yeah, look at the audience here at Feather Studios. They do that, too. That's their move.
Nigga, I was so... No, that's all too much reaction than what I got. I got a singular high.
Crowd here loved it.
And stares. So when I got that, I was like, okay, it'll never be that bad again.
Sure.
And it going as bad as it did is what kept me in it. And
yeah, because now, again, back to that puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to figure it. You're like, I got to figure this out.
How do I figure it out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then from that, I started putting all my jokes on paper and so
That's
on
what
and
it
so
is.
Forth.
It becomes an obsession. I'm there with you. You know, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and it's and if it doesn't become that, the best advice I got is like, if you don't love it, don't do it.
Yeah, leave.
Yeah, you know, there's reason.
I've been doing it so long now that a friend of mine just quit, and who I think is very talented. Mm. You know him too. We'll talk about it after the podcast. He just quit, and like 7 years ago, I would have tried to talk him back into it.
Yeah.
But now I'm in a space where I'm like, you know what, man?
Do what you
good for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The fact that you found something that can keep you sane outside of this fucking lion's den. By all means, go and do that.
Listen, all of you, Nico's fucking hilarious. All of you need to follow him right now, at NicoWhite93 on Instagram. Go follow. It'll be in my Instagram.
Yeah.
Use that to get to his stuff. He's headlining New York Comedy Club on October 25th.
Yes, sir.
Go to that show. Go to the show October 25th. Go to his website.
NicoWhite.com. It's NekoWhite.com.
Love it.
All the information for the show will be there. Promo code is Kang. That's KANG. That'll drop the tickets from $35 to $25.
There you go. So there's a discount. There's your free money from the J Train podcast. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Let's do some emails. But before you jump into your emails, and I host a podcast myself, so I know what it's like to throw people off schedule.
No schedule here.
The compliment that I was going to pay Jared.
I forgot.
I've known Jared since he started, right? Mm-hmm. Back when Jared was just a couple years younger and maybe 3 pounds lighter.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. There's few people that I know that have worked as fucking hard.
Oh,
like, sincerely.
That. This is hard work.
I remember
I've worked hard for a long
when
time.
The podcast was new.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can't remember if it was under another name or not.
It was TFM Podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember when motherfuckers were like, you know, you get the gossipers on the scene, like, what?
Sure.
Because you were still new.
Sure.
So they didn't have a reason to respect you.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, well, what the fuck is he doing? Blah, 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 blah. in spite of all that shit, not only did you grow the podcast, but I remember when we would do those shitty but necessary rooms.
For sure.
Being in rooms like Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And the fucking, like, being in the back of these bars for no money. Yeah. Or for fuck money.
Yeah.
I've never seen you complain. I've never seen you yell at anybody. So for that and the
Who's yelling at people?
Oh, come on, really? Man. There's plenty of fucking sad people yelling
yeah,
at people.
Yeah, people are sad.
So the fact that you've been able to maintain, A, your sanity, or so it seems, and B, grow your audience the way you've grown your audience, you should fucking be proud of yourself.
Thank you,
congratulations.
Man. I appreciate that. Look, you've touched the hearts
of Shelby.
Of Shelby.
Jared.
And the rest whole of the studio audience, the Feather Studios. Uh-huh. Thank you. A tear running down my cheek. Let's do the emails. I'm pumped.
Let's
to
do
have
the
it.
Emails,
and,
man.
And listen, everyone should follow Nico. He's fucking hilarious. At Nico White
93.
We are sponsored people. We all know how important it is to stay healthy, but the reality is 9 out of 10 people don't eat enough fruits and veggies. When you don't get the proper nutrition, you increase your risk for chronic illnesses such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and even cancer. Michael and Crystal, the founders of Your Super, discovered firsthand how important nutrition is to health. As professional tennis players, they were happy, healthy, and active on and off the court. After Michael was diagnosed with cancer, Crystal started making superfood mixes to help him rebuild his immune system. When they saw the impact of superfood mixes had an improving Michael's health, they knew they needed to share it with the world. Your Super is on a mission to improve people's health with the power of super plants. They make it easy for you to get the nutrients your body needs to thrive. Your Super's functional superfood and plant protein mixes are made from naturally dried organic whole food superfoods and nothing else. With Your Super's 100% transparent supply chain, you know you're getting the cleanest superfood mixes on the market. Okay, so listen, people. Your Super is pretty awesome, okay? It's really the easiest, most delicious way to get more fruits and veggies in. You just the thing about a powder and a mix is you suck it down, you got through it. Okay. And I'm not saying, and the best part about these is they taste delicious too. So it's not like you're sitting there eating a head of broccoli. This is a way to get the broccoli without having to chew the broccoli. You get it? It's fantastic. And I love knowing that the Super Green Mix is keeping my immune system strong and I just feel better. It feels good. So, and I like that the company keeps everything transparent. I like that they have so many recipes and they're creating a nice little community. So to get the cleanest superfood and plant protein mixes at yoursuper.com, that's yoursuper.com. yoursuper.com. Get 15, that's 1-5, 15% off your order when you go to use the code JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN at checkout. Go to yoursuper.com and don't forget to get 15% off with promo code JTRAIN at checkout. Let's do it. JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com is so I breathe. So I start with an email that I think would connect with the guest.
Okay. Well, let's
is
see.
Is age really just a number? Because I knew, you know, to me, you're always the 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the reality of when you meet people, you're like, you know, it's funny that sometimes I'll even remember jokes from people. I don't know any of the act,
yes,
except for the one joke I saw at an open mic, the one time that bombed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I always give shit to Greg Stone, who's been on this show all the time, mm-hmm, about a stealing bit he tried to do.
Ah.
And I give him shit about it. And it's like, I know a lot of his jokes otherwise, but I'm like, that to me is like, you know, you see someone through the prism of how you meet,
how
and
you
all
met
that
them.
Stuff.
I'm the same way. There's jokes that, like Matt Richards is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Host of HQ Trivia. Shout out to Matt. But he used to have this joke about being Jamaican, and the accent was so bad. It was god awful. And the punchline was, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
And to this day, I give him shit about that. And he's a fucking fantastic comedian.
Sean Donnelly,
you know,
another
is
great comic.
Yes.
Every time I see him, he used to have a joke about someone on his corner yelling, "Hey, shorty!"
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, I remember.
I
him
can just
saying
imagine
it.
Him in his cop face.
Yeah.
Saying,
"Hey, shorty!" "Hey, Shorty!" And I always say it, and he gets annoyed, I think. "Hey, Papa JT, the master of moms, the Wizard of Oz."
Okay.
"Quick question. I recently started dating someone who is 5 years younger than me. Okay. He's 28. I'm 33. We went out to a bar, so he didn't know my age initially. Mm-hmm. But one of the first few times we hung out, he said, 'I don't think I would have talked to you if I knew you were 33. Oh, my God. And later mentioned that he usually dates girls that are 22 to 24. Things seem to be going well, and it doesn't seem like he is just looking for something casual. My question is, should I be worried about this? Does that mean he doesn't see this going anywhere? Thanks for your always hilarious sage advice. If you have time," she wants a dating classic Shelb lookalike. Classic Shelb has a very strange talent for figuring out the lookalike of the person writing in.
Oh, shit.
And
get him, Shell.
There she is on the left right here. Very cute.
Very cute. But if y'all can see Shelb's face he looks at this motherfucker, yo. Because
he's, this is taking it in. This is his.
Oh, I know. He's really getting it down. Because, ma'am, if you're listening, you are very attractive.
Very
but
cute.
If you could see Shelby's face when he looked at these pictures, he's really buffering the study.
No, he's undressing her with his eyes and giving her a lookalike to her that she deserves. She's very cute. So what do you think? Have you ever dated someone older?
I've dated someone older, and what I would find is that older women have a thing about them, at least in my experience, where they'll talk to you like you're just learning how to walk.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, "Oh, look at you, young man. I'm going to teach you how to..."
I completely agree.
And it's fucking annoying because it's like, A, stop patronizing me, and sure. B, you not about to teach me shit.
Yeah, well, you're here for it. We're here doing this.
If you're going to teach me, just teach me.
You know what I'm saying? Don't tell me. Don't make everything. You know, it is annoying. And girls, women start doing this the minute they graduate. The minute women aren't freshmen in college, they're old.
Right.
They'll play this game where it's like, seniors were the old hens on campus. You're like, you're 21.
My nigga, they would call me a baby. This girl was 27. Yeah. I was 23. "Oh, you're a baby. Bitch, we're within the same presidential term.
And you're fucking a baby."
Bro, that's literally what I was about to say. You're fucking this baby.
Yeah.
You have this baby's whole dick in your mouth. What are you talking about?
Live in that reality. Yeah,
Stop patting me on my head.
Well, you know what they're doing, and the reason they're doing it is
power play. You think?
No, it's they're self conscious.
But see,
so they're trying to get ahead. It's like when you get ahead of the joke that's going to be made about you,
right?
So no one can ever call her old if she's always calling herself old.
True, but now here's what happens, and I think that's kind of what's happening here is that once it's known now that, because like he said, he didn't know she was 32,
yeah,
and now it's all she can think about.
That's because you
were self-conscious already. And I think you kind of started at a deficit when you come at it that way.
Yeah.
So where he was just being honest with you, and the fact that he was being honest with you for somebody of his age is a plus.
And for him to say, I mean, it's a stupid thing to say when it's written out, but I'm positive he didn't say, like, "I wouldn't go up to you if I had known you were 33.
Well, that's
like,
kind of a respect thing, too.
Yeah, well, it's kind of letting her know, like, listen, this isn't usually what I'm doing. Yeah,
it's not usually what happens.
Yeah.
You know how fucking psyched he is to tell his friends that he's fucking a 33-year-old?
Yeah, I think he's probably like, this is kind of cool. There is excitement to that, but like, I think what you're saying is totally correct. She has to be cooler with it than she is.
Then, because it seems like she's so worried about it, and I don't think there's that much to worry about. And I think a lot of times, or older people in general, because I don't think it's just women that are like this. I think they're afraid of getting played out by somebody younger than them.
Well, this is the thing. She doesn't want, there's a phrase that is overused but worth talking about is, am I wasting my time?
Yeah, am I wasting my time? And do you want to be that story? Mm-hmm. Do you want? Because a lot of times, like, I don't know, for me anyway, I think in relationships where it's like, do I want to be that story? I had a blow up with a girl, and I was like, do I want to be that story she tells? You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that for her?
So, like, for her, she doesn't want to be the older person in the relationship that this young guy now gets to tell his friends about. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that 33-year-old I had, and I got away with this, away with that.
She doesn't want to be a, you know, a notch on the belt.
Exactly.
You know, that type of thing. She doesn't want to be like a, you know.
She don't want to be the MILF story. Not that she is, but I don't think that he's trying to play you. I think that you should let whatever this is happen.
Yeah, and I think the, you know, we get into this on You Up last week on the other podcast. Mm-hmm. This is the clock women are working with. I can understand she's like, I'm 33. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, you know, seriously seeing someone who doesn't see me seriously.
True.
So I think that also takes, like, it takes you asking the right questions and also...
But also,
women think they don't have to listen.
Because I was just about to say, it also takes, and I don't mean this. What's her name?
We don't do names.
Oh, hilarious. Well, to you, madam, I don't think that
you calling her madam isn't helping her age issues.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just talk like that. My family's from Orangeburg, South Carolina. I just speak like that, ma'am. So it's one of those things where we all have to get over ourselves a little bit. Because I think that's what this is. You need to get over yourself just a little bit in regards to, you know, can I take this serious? And will he take this serious?
Yeah. I think
Let
it happen, but also let it go.
Right.
So, and let it go, what I mean is be ready to let it go.
Right.
So you are 33. Mm-hmm. If you want to bring age into it, you can go. At this point, you know what makes you feel good from a relationship. Mm-hmm.
If your parameters aren't being met, get out of there.
And don't waste your time with, well, maybe you'll come back. That has nothing about age.
Yeah.
That has something about your...
And character.
...ability to read between the lines.
Yes.
So, is he taking you out? All right.
Yeah.
There we go. He's 27. And 27 isn't that young.
It's like, not.
You know, he's an adult.
That's a whole grown man. And again, you're not even that much older than he is.
Yeah. And don't make this... And I'm going back to what Nico said in the beginning, because this happens in a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. Don't lean on the easy joke of the relationship.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm the old woman and you're the young man.
You will tire a dude out like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and he'll end up at one point go, yeah, maybe she is too old.
She is too old.
Like, and then you're going to reveal that, like, your timeline is a little bit quicker than his.
Right.
That's what you have to, if he's backing down to your town, if he's not adding up to your timeline, mm-hmm. time to go. You got to go.
And I feel like you would know that right now. So to whoever you are, ma'am, I wish you the best and let it go. You know what I'm saying? Let it go.
J-Train,
you're 33. You're not ancient.
J-Train.
Like
Who's
Daisy Fuentes.
Holy shit, are you good? She does have Fuentes to her.
I don't know who Daisy Fuentes is, but
Daisy Fuentes,
if she looks anything like this lady, she's very attractive.
I used to be obsessed with Daisy Fuentes. That was my type.
We all were.
Oh my God.
I used to be obsessed with Eve. You remember Eve?
Yeah.
With the fucking paw prints on the titties.
Of course.
Boy.
There's Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, okay.
I see it.
Good work.
Great work. Shelby's very good.
I'm kind of afraid to ask this nigga who I look like.
I don't get into that. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
That was a good
chameleonaire.
Worried chameleonaire. Worried I'm bothering my boyfriend by crying too much.
You definitely are. I can assure
Short
you.
Short answer. Feather, big fan of You Up and J-Train. I've featured you in my story, and I tell all my friends, thank you. Anyways, to start off, I don't want to say I'm a crier, because I feel like Jared has some jokes locked and loaded on self-described cries.
I feel like when she cries, this is how she cries. I don't want to seem like I'm complaining, but we really need to make this thing better.
I'm not a pain in the ass while being a pain in the ass. Yeah.
That's the most annoying, because you know what you're doing. Stop.
But if I'm being honest, I cry a lot. It's my response to situations that are emotionally charged, i.e. fighting with my boyfriend or family, when I'm really overwhelmed about school, when I get really mad. My boyfriend and I are doing long distance, so sometimes I cry when he leaves. The issue is that before I started dating my boyfriend, I never really noticed how often I cry, because I find crying publicly a little embarrassing. So it was always just me who knew. Now I notice, because he's normally with me. Note, not saying it's usually his fault, just we spend a lot of time together and that happens to be with me. And it's made me really self-conscious about it. Now I know it's because he's normally with me. Okay, so, and it's made me really self-conscious about it. I feel like guys probably find girls who cry to be really emotionally draining or annoying or whatever, and that just makes me more upset when I'm already feeling upset and vulnerable. Any insight on how guys perceive this? Would this be a deal breaker? My female friends say they cry a lot too, but they don't really see me cry, so I'm not sure they have a good sense of how frequently it actually is. I have seen a counselor. He said I'm just tender-hearted and wasn't overly concerned about
it. Very nice counselor.
For reference, it probably works out that I cry twice a month. I like that she has an Excel spreadsheet.
Right, exactly. I cry twice a month, usually right before dusk, again at dawn.
And I'm at a 32 cry a day rate, but it's been a rough past couple of weeks, and it's shaken out to be more like weekly. Big yikes, I know. No, you listen. We all cry. My boyfriend says I'm too hard on myself. Okay. I mean,
if this email is any any indication.
She then says she attached pics for Classic Shelb. We've got a few celeb lookalikes throughout the years, and I'm curious. But she didn't attach pics.
Aw, poor baby.
Well, now she's gonna start crying about that.
Okay, so I'm gonna start on this one.
Go for it.
So, ma'am, it's one of those things where it's like, Cat, I wish y'all had to drop on this. Cat Williams said it best, and excuse the B word, bitch, it's called self-esteem. That was one of the best lines Cat has ever used, and I think it applies here, to where you're fighting yourself. I don't even think your boyfriend's thinking that hard, because if this is how you are, this is how you are.
Yeah.
If y'all still together, it's one of the things he's probably learned to accept. No one likes to see their mate cry. Nobody likes that. But if that's how you do business, that's how you do business.
You are what you is.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's clearly down for the business. So if you're crying when he leaves, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. You miss him.
Yeah.
Like you cry.
And also,
and you're not even crying a lot. I cry more watching anime than she does in a month, according to this email.
And to me, she cries the way she described it is
at proper times.
Proper times, but also she cries when this is her natural body state.
Yeah.
It's like sweating to her.
I know somebody who cries like every day.
Yeah.
I could show a viral vid and somebody else would be like, she's boom.
And sometimes I'll say this, crying, the vulnerability that goes with it, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. Yeah. It's good. And guys kind of, I was with my girlfriend and she started like tearing up a little bit and I'll never forget it. We're like in bed together. Mm-hmm. There's a tearing up going on. And at some point she goes, are you hard?
Yo.
And I go, I'm so sorry. Like, she was telling me, like, serious shit. Yeah. I was like, she started laughing. I was like, but it was so funny because I was like, yeah, I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the situation you're talking about, but also it's a little hot.
But she opened up to
you. It's like, and it opened up to me. Yeah.
Guys, we don't usually get that all the time to where it's like, you fucking, like, your hearts are touching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we're actually connecting.
Well, we're putting a really positive spin on our boners based on their cry. There's might be a psychologist listening being like, yeah, that's really fucked up.
It
might be it's fucked up, but I didn't really, in my mind, I didn't have fucked up feelings. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm listening to her story. She looks really cute when she's crying.
It's not like you're going out doing bad shit to make her cry so you get hard.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that would be weird.
I had a girl cry because she was proud of me, and I don't think I've had better sex ever in my fucking life.
I hope this comforts her a little bit to hear that, like, you got three men here saying that they all get boners when they see a girl cry.
For the right reasons, because it's like, again.
That's why I went and saw The Notebook in theaters seven times. I was like, I got to get this boner again.
Just so you can get it. That's a damn shame.
That's why I love The Titanic. Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I think you're being your own worst enemy.
And here's the thing. Two things. Going back to last email. Yeah, you fucking cry. This doesn't have to be your narrative. You don't have to be, and look at me crying again. Okay, we get it.
If you didn't cry, something would be wrong.
Here's the other thing, and it doesn't sound like she does this, but sometimes if someone's crying or they're getting more emotional than everyone else, they use that as some sort of credibility for why they
why their feelings are
more important than other people's. And it's like, don't do that move.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like you're doing that, but it's something to be aware of where you go, I am, like, it's the equivalent of someone having a baby and going, as a mother.
Right.
You know, and it's like, yeah.
Well, what do you think as a person?
Yeah. Anyone can become a mother.
Right.
Or a father, whatever.
Yeah. I'm looking at the length of the email here, and I just think that you know so much about yourself that it's a detriment to you. Just let it be. Let it be. Life is to be lived. And the fact that you care as much as you do is a good thing. Don't no dude want to leave that girl. She's like, all right, bye.
Yeah.
No, nobody want that.
Also, no guy's been like, I got away from that bitch. She was a crier. Yeah. Like, I never heard that.
Those words have never been said. Now, mind you, I've been in situations, but this is back in high school where I was with a girl. And she was always playing up her emotions, but she wasn't crying. This bitch was like, I'm gonna kill myself. Every other text would be like, it was good seeing you for the last time. ... So you're not that. This isn't a deal breaker.
Yeah.
The fact that y'all are still together is that the proof is in the pudding.
There it is.
You good.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Nico White.
Yeah.
Nico White 93.
N-E-K-O White 93, baby.
1025, headlining New York Comedy Club. Kang, K-A-N-G is the discount code.
Get you $10 off that $35 price, baby.
There you go. We are sponsored, people. ZipRecruiter. Listen, people. We've talked about ZipRecruiter before. If you're hiring, if you're looking for people, it is difficult to find the right people for the right job. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you, okay? Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you get quality candidates fast. So the Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com. So Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. Listen, this is Dylan. This guy had an issue, and he needed a person, and ZipRecruiter goes and finds the right person. And that's the thing. Everyone wants jobs. Everyone wants a better job, but you got to find someone that fits the puzzle piece that you are missing. So 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right. You're not going to be wasting your time. You have business to do. You don't need to be looking for people. Let ZipRecruiter do it. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes? Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. JTRAIN. ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. That is a free trial. You can try it for free. This is great. Free money, people. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com/JTrain. Dating equivalent of safety schools.
Whoa. Hold on. Wait a second.
This
let me adjust my glasses for this.
She sent pics and all this
stuff.
Well,
goddamn, that's a badass staircase.
Celeb lookalike for Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good looking.
Fucking Christ.
This isn't to say the other ones haven't been, but...
I mean, but
this is
come on
a
now.
Model-esque. Shelby, flat. She's going to want to look alike. So,
hey, man.
Discovered this podcast recently as a big fan of stand-up comedy. I've been loving the guests and relationship advice. You rule. I'm feeling pretty discouraged. Here's her pictures. Okay. Shelby taking it in. Shelby's doing his assessment.
With the Shelby snarl as he gets it down.
I'm feeling pretty discouraged in the dating realm. For background, I live in L.A. She looks the most I live in L.A. ever, right?
Yeah, that didn't shock me.
And I'm 28, and I broke up with an ex a little over a year ago after being together about 7 years in college and after. It was pretty mutual, and we definitely outgrew each other, so not looking back there. In the past year, I've gone on dates with a few guys I met on Hinge, but haven't been pursuing finding the next guy too aggressively because I want to be open to the universe. That's the most LA sentence ever. I'm also generally afraid of forcing any situation with a guy or appearing too interested. If it happens, it happens.
Gosh.
I feel really awful saying this, but the following has happened twice to me. I'll go out, hook up with the same guy over the course of a few weeks or months, casually, not hear from them in a little while, then see this guy, same guy on social media start dating a girl who's objectively less attractive than me.
Ooh.
I know I bring a lot to the table in terms of personality, selflessness, sense of humor, and sex, to be completely honest here, and have had guys tell me all the above. So when I see this happen, I get in my head a little about what went wrong and my self-confidence takes a blow. Do guys ever feel compelled to pursue safer bets? Again, huh? I feel awful and awkward asking this, but it's something I've witnessed more than once, and it's only feeding my fear of rejection. I'm pretty new to this whole dating thing anyways. Attaching pics, love you, mean it. So I'll say to her, this is the perfect place to send this email. This is the judgment-free zone.
Yes.
We have uncomfortable conversations comfortably. I love this email, actually.
Okay.
Because she's saying, hey, I'm going out with these guys. Nothing's really happening. Then their next girl ain't looking like me.
Right. But see, that's the part of the email where I went, because
of course,
and it's not,
that's
and,
the one that's what she expected from people.
But that's what it is, to where it's like I could already tell by your email that you're deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell that you're deeper than that, and the fact that the first thing that she said was, "Oh fuck, that the bitch ain't on my level," and that might be where one of the problems is, because yeah, it sucks that the other person isn't as attractive as you, but you definitely have more to offer than just your looks. You definitely do.
Yeah, and she says she's afraid of rejection, which all of us are.
But we all are, but it's more apparent once she added that part about the next girl being less than.
What's apparent about her fear of rejection is she writes, the answers are sometimes in the emails.
That's what I'm saying.
And she wrote, I'm also generally afraid of forcing my situation with a guy or appearing too interested.
And so when you don't want to seem too interested, you seem like you're not interested. And on top of that, you're hot. So on top of the regular fucking insecurities that come with being somebody or just casually hooking up with somebody, then you know how hot you are, which could be a detriment sometimes. And then you don't like to seem too interested. If you don't seem too interested, a lot of women will just seem uninterested.
Yeah.
And when we know you have options, especially as fucking gorgeous as she is, if I know you got some options and you don't seem interested, well, shit, I'm out.
Yeah. Guys are ego-filled animals.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you're looking at someone that doesn't necessarily make you feel good about yourself when you're an ego-filled animal... Yeah. You're gonna go, I'm not gonna really go around this person. I'm gonna kind of drop off. I do think that when you say, I don't know what
this email makes my head hurt.
What is appearing too interested? That's the thing.
Because she hasn't laid on anything that tells me anyway what her interest looks like. Like when she's interested, what does that look like for you? Are you talking to this person every day?
Yeah.
Are you like hitting up in the morning? Like what's
but
the
also
interaction?
To defend her, also, she is a categorically, and I'm not saying this isn't a down, there's a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
First, the next girl a guy is with has nothing to do with the last girl.
Absolutely
they were
nothing.
With. And that's a huge thing that women because they compete with their relationship levels a lot,
yeah.
They end up because our competition with men is work and financial, yep. And look at the type of girl that is on my arm, and those aren't healthy either. I'm not defending those.
No,
societally, that's just what's come out. Mm-hmm. Women a lot of times are who's the married one, who's the single one, who's in the relationship, and that's how the order is defined. So when they see that someone that isn't as good looking in their eyes as them,
well, they
is
think
in a
they
relationship.
Have a they think they have a problem, and you don't.
No, you have no problem.
It has nothing to do with you.
Someone's going to be with you at some point.
Yes.
The point of that is to say, don't count the money in other people's wallets.
Exactly.
You have no idea the reasons that they stayed together, and the reasons they stayed together isn't, one of them isn't that last bitch.
And that's what I want to get to, right? And like you did, to defend her, one of the things is that, because she says she's fairly new to this dating
but
stuff,
she's
right?
She's also, to defend her, she's also so hot.
She looks like Emily Van Camp.
Emily Van Camp. Boy, you. Okay. I'm telling you, dog, you scare me.
I mean, it is uncanny how good, here she is. Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're good, man.
So it's one of those things where it's like,
if she's new to dating, like she says she is, when she says, I don't want to like seem too interested or whatever, and we tell her, like, be more interested, who knows what that means for her? She might hear that and go, like, okay, I'm going to hit him up every minute on the minute. Mm. Or if she's doing the opposite of that, she might never hit him up at all. So well, there's levels to be played with.
Remember
here.
When we just said that we get hard when we watch a girl cry?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what that's from? Vulnerability.
Yeah.
So I used to have this a lot where when I went on dates with girls, like, this would happen because I like a curvy woman. Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Like them thick, baby.
Into it.
Mm-hmm.
When I would go out with them or meet them in public and show interest, a lot of times there was this weird defense mechanism where they were like kind of mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it with, and I'm not trying to generalize, I'm just saying this would happen a lot with the type of women that maybe weren't getting pursued in the way that I was pursuing.
Right.
And they come at, well, oh, you think you're funny? Oh, and it's like this whole defense mechanism.
Well, that's because they have to go through the day and get it. Like, sniped at them. Like, I don't know the type of woman you're talking about, but, like, for me, right, thick women, mostly black and Hispanic, right? Mm-hmm. They walking down the block, and it's fucking pickup lines all goddamn day. People saying little slick shit to them.
Sure.
So when you sit at the table with them, you throw your little funny lines, like, huh, you think you funny? Because she been dodging those little lines all fucking day before she got to you.
And also not serious.
Right.
Like, those lines aren't taken seriously or given seriously sometimes. So. Yep. And I think for her, she's a beautiful girl who's probably dealing with a lot of shitty fucking dudes.
Who only want to get in her pants.
Who want to get in her pants. So it's like, I don't understand where she's putting up this defense mechanism where vulnerability is a weakness. But what we're saying is, if you're going to go on dates with someone and you do, you have to own that you like them.
Yeah.
Stop liking people because they like you.
Yep.
Own the things you like. And you say, and show a little vulnerability. Show that tear.
And
that
show that
brings a guy in more.
Show that you want to be with a motherfucker because you too goddamn gorgeous to have to worry about any of that shit.
And that doesn't mean answering every one of their texts and going out when,
no.
This means when you do go out, getting a little personal.
Right.
Those things.
Every time you lead a date, I should be able to take something about you home with me.
And what she's not realizing is those next girls were probably doing that.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
That's all they did. And a little bit of personality, a little bit of opening your door to let somebody walk in. Motherfuckers got to see the house before they buy it.
We are sponsored people. Woo! Woo! Yeah, you hear those ghosts? That's not someone leaving your bedroom to never text you again. That's a real ghost. Woo! It's the most wonderful time of the year, Halloween. Remember when planning your costume as a kid was like the most fun thing that you could have had pre-Christmas? And for the Jews, pre-Hanukkah, I guess. I don't know. And now that you're an adult, Halloween feels less Halloween-y. Am I right? Well, MeUndies is bringing back the childlike joy of picking out the perfect costume with their spooky prints and Halloween costume onesies. That's right, costumes, onesies, boo! Listen, I love what MeUndies has done. They're a fun company. They know that you're looking for something easy breezy to get on your body for Halloween. And they also make things really comfortable. The worst part about Halloween costumes is spending a whole night with, a knife in your ear. And you're like, oh, I feel awful. Well, let MeUndies solve this issue. They're spooky soft, designed to be the best thing you've ever put on your body soft. Like softer than a fluffy kitten dressed up in a pumpkin spice costume. Like softer than brain zombies love to eat. Oh, too far? Well, you get the idea. These are the softest undies known to man. They're also available in sizes extra small to 4XL, soft for all. So listen, I love MeUndies. I love that they give free money to the people that listen here. If you don't have their underwear, like if you want to get one of their onesies for Halloween, that's great. I wear the underwear all the time. It's spectacular. It feels good. Talk about feathering your nuts. So MeUndies has a great offer for my listener. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. That's a no-brainer, people, because they have 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you can, send them back if they don't work out. So to get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/JTrain. 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 JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Shelby, we got time for one more. Where are we right now? Because I didn't write
48.
Down. 48? Let's do one more email. Then we got some news.
We do.
Let's do one more email. Does that sound good?
Let's do
one
more. Yeah.
I'll give
one
you the
more email.
I'll give the Nico the choice.
Okay.
I'll read a couple titles.
All right.
Hookup train to Greenwich. Red flag or deal breaker? Did my inability to talk about feelings scare him away? Well-seasoned fuckboy or just an idiot? My not-so-transparent ghost? First dates nearby?
Well-seasoned fuckboy and the one that was talking about emotions. But since I can't remember that one.
Let's do well-seasoned fuckboy.
Yeah. Because first of all, can I say this? Because I know this email is probably coming from a white woman somewhere.
Yeah.
Y'all got to stop using the words fuckboy. Only because, and we need to, like, because that's something that started in the, like, black side, right?
So, that's interesting to me. I like that. What is fuckboy in the black community?
You want me to be honest?
Please.
Fuckboy in the black community, what it originally meant, it was a derogatory term for, like, gay people. Basically meant faggot. That's what fuckboy meant. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
When you would get called a fuckboy, that was somebody calling you. And, you know what I'm saying?
And now it's been over.
And I got news for you. That means you're gay.
So that's what. Oh, by the way, to the people that'll come back and listen to this podcast to cancel me in 3 years, I'm just giving a little Urban Dictionary.
There's context to this conversation.
They don't give a fuck about context, so I'm just setting it up now.
Seth Simmons, shout out.
Fuck that. I don't know who that is, but stay away from me.
Yeah. Okay. So in the black community, that was a derogatory term for gay people.
Be gay. That's just what niggas would say to you to call you a faggot without saying faggot.
Got it. Okay. I like that they moved on from one term to find another term that became bad as well.
That was right up there with fuck boy, suck my dick. That was all in the same area of disrespect.
And now it's been acquired by white women
to describe
guys that are trying to have a lot of sex and not commit.
I just find it hilarious because they get offended by so much other shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, you out here using fuckboy, don't even know what it started as. That shit would get you murdered down south, dog.
Well, you know what's funny about that is like, it's like going to like China and thinking a word sounds cool and then realizing that is the N-word.
Right, you know? You over there, you say that shit, you get hit over the head. What? Why? Because you just said the most disrespectful shit in the country. So I'm just saying, be careful.
Just
that word,
know how you're saying it.
Know what you're saying. That word could get you killed. Listen, down south.
We talked about this. We had a guest on, Mary Beth Barone, who has a show where it's called, where she does a fuck boy. What was it?
Remaking them or something.
Well, now that you think about it, if you told someone about that segment, Mary Beth was great. She's fantastic. She's funny. I did kind of question her on the use of the term because it's like, you know, it's kind of like, to me, it's calling someone a slut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't use the word slut to refer to women because I'm like, ugh, I don't. That's not the right word to say.
Well, it's shame.
I understand the context, but it's like two wrongs don't make a right.
Don't make a right.
Are we growing or are we just trying to get back at people?
No, we're just trying to get back at people.
But then it's she has fuckboy redemption, I think. Or
it might be that,
but it's funny that she's almost in another part of the country that might be considered like sending a gay person to...
Conversion therapy. Hilarious.
You know, so
I'm just saying that word would get you killed down south. That was fighting words.
Let's read this person's well-meaning email.
Hilarious.
Hey Jared.
To the podcast feel bad. I'm sorry.
No. We want the information.
Yeah.
Only a little wine tipsy, so we'll come to attempt to keep this as to the point as possible. That sentence is already the hardest one for me to read.
This email is 3 scrolls long.
No, it's not so bad. I was in the process of casting for a TV show earlier this year. Throughout filming, I noticed one of the guys on the crew and found him very attractive. I didn't end up being on the show. Months later, he reached out to me via Instagram to see how I'd been. That means he's interested. Mm-hmm. We started texting very frequently. We were FaceTiming at least 3 times a week for about a month.
Damn.
We were even having very honest conversations about what we wanted out of life. Damn. He said he wanted a family and was frustrated that he felt work and traveling held him back from that. I was refreshed by his forwardness about these things as I'm at a place where I'd like to start getting on the road to settling down. For more context, I'm 28. He's 39.
If y'all, one of y'all is on the rightful track of setting down,
He mentioned that he would love for me to come visit before he leaves where he's filming now and heads to the next place, which will be even further away. I had already planned a trip to see family that's about 2 hours from where he is working now, so I suggested that I could make a day trip. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was set. We were supposed to hang out today, Monday, because he was off work, and I run my own business, so kept the time free. He had mentioned earlier last week, the week before planned visit, that he found out he might not have his day off since it was the last week of filming and that he'd update me. He texted Thursday that he, in fact, did not have Monday off. I responded with, "That sucks, but we'll still be able to see each other next month." He had already mentioned he would stop in after filming when he was free. He texted Friday morning about how disappointed he was about the trip not working out and asked if there was any way I'd be willing to drive there Sunday evening when he got back. They were out of city filming something to have dinner and hang out. I agreed, and that was that. That was the last I heard from him. I headed to see my family right after that text exchange and reached out the next day, Saturday, to check in. "Hey, I know you're busy working, but let me know when you'll be back in town tomorrow so that I can plan when to head up there." I saw that he was active on Instagram throughout the day and viewing my stories, but he did not respond. I didn't hear from him until 3 a.m. today, Monday morning.
Yeah.
So she heard from him after they were supposed to hang out that Sunday.
Yep.
He said he didn't have service all weekend.
That's bullshit.
He's sorry the trip didn't work out. He expressed that work was screwing up his social life again. What? First of all, did you think I'm an idiot and that you actually just didn't have service all weekend? And second, I totally gave him the out about not hanging out, and he asked me to still come, then disappeared. Please tell me if you understand what's going on in his mind, because I'm lost.
Okay.
I'd assume if he's just a seasoned fuckboy and does this all the time, that he wouldn't have ghosted and at least tried to get sex before disappearing. But instead, he seems so genuine and so into all of it, then disappeared and lost service, quote unquote, all weekend. I feel totally justified in being pissed that he didn't respond after inviting me and giving lost service excuse, but why does he seem to think it's not a big deal? Thank you. She gives her Instagram.
Okay. So I'm a start on this one.
She gives his Instagram, but it's not helpful because he has no pictures of himself. He's just one of those guys, or just old.
Okay, well, you answered a couple of your own questions in this email. Mm. First of all, this is a 39-year-old person on social media with your young ass. He already, y'all at two different stages in life. You know what I'm saying? So this is probably the game he plays. But also, there's something to be said with, like she mentioned, it's not like he tried to show up and just get sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then bounce. So there might be something to what he said. I don't think that it was one of those things where he lost service. That's obvious bullshit. But
yeah,
he might have just lost interest and doesn't know how to fucking say that.
Well, that's I'm with you. The last thing you said is what speaks to me the most. Because
yeah,
I've kind of been this guy.
As have I.
Yeah. So I've been, this is the thing. This is why people write in. I've been this guy, and I've been this guy where I get to the point of like I've been, they're distant.
Yeah.
They're distance. You get to the point where you're like, you're talking, you're getting along on social media, you're getting along on text, and then all of a sudden,
you get there and it's like,
do I want to do this? Was masturbating to the idea of it enough?
You're right.
And that's what he's doing.
Well,
he's going,
sometimes
now,
you have empty balls and you go, yeah, you know what? Now I can just go to sleep.
Exactly. And what men do, and this is an ego-driven thing,
yeah,
is we go, here's the thought process, and I know this is going to sound insane, but I'll go,
I bet you it won't.
This girl's cute, and Monday, like a whole day, I was going to have my day off.
Yep.
And I don't even know if we're going to get along in person, but, you know, and then I would like to go to the gym and pay my bills.
Uh-huh.
And have my, well, okay, let's cancel Monday. And then a day goes by and you go, well, maybe she can come Sunday.
Yep. Now, Jared, how old are you?
34.
You're 34. Mm. That guy's 39. I'm 26. Mm. I've had the thought to where it's like, you know, you talk to the girl online or whatever, mm-hmm. just to see if you can. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Just to see if you can get it to the point where it's like, yeah, I'll come see. And you all excited and all that shit. Then you go through your week. You go mm-hmm. through your day. Mm-hmm. And then you know, all right, I set up to meet. But shit, I got to work. Okay, cool. I'll work. Then you're done working. And it's like, well, you know what?
I want to just fucking sit
here. I can lay down.
Ooh, yeah.
I can eat. You go to sleep. You wake up, it's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You missed everything. And yeah. It's like, shit, she ain't gonna believe that I just came here, went to sleep.
I'm not willing to give him that.
No, I'm talking about me.
That could happen, but I'm more saying that every time push came to shove, mm-hmm. he was like, what are we gonna meet once and then maybe
39?
At 39, we're gonna meet once, we're gonna maybe fuck, and then I'm gonna be this fucking asshole. Because then a month from now, she's going to want to hang out again, and I'm going to have to hang out
yep.
because we already fucked that one time. Or I
can't hang out, and she'll think all I want to do was fuck and then never talk to her again.
Exactly. So it's like he's going through, and she's like, well, he's not a fuckboy because he would have gotten the sex. And, he's an egomaniac.
He's an egomaniac.
Like all of us.
He's an old egomaniac.
Yeah. And he's saying to himself, what are the long-term prospects? And I think women think of the long-term success stories. Mm-hmm. Men think of the long-term crash and burn.
Yes.
And what men are what he's thinking is not how great the day or the night will be. He's thinking how horrible
the
blowback and how bad the ending's going to be. And I think every time your trip came, it weighed on him that he'd be making you make a trip.
Yes.
And that would not result in marriage.
And
I know she's going, well, I don't want marriage. At some point you do.
And in what road, which road is going to lead me to less personal annoyance?
And that is canceling on you, masturbating, falling asleep, and, you know, covered in my own cum.
And know that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
That's all him.
It's all him.
And I think that's kind of a part of it, too, that might make some women upset where it's like, so wait, this had nothing to do with me? It never had anything to do with you.
It had to do with his ego, his insecurities, his feelings that, like, I'm going to make a girl drive 2 hours
right.
to maybe fuck and then never speak to her again.
And it's that weird, and dudes do that shit, where it's like, it's almost an odd, sympathetic kind of thing.
Yeah.
To where it's like, I don't want to make her drive
It's
this
thinking too
car.
Much of yourself
yep.
while also understanding
that you're hurting somebody.
That you're going to hurt somebody. So, and I hope she hears that and goes, and hears two men mm-hmm. going of different age groups.
Yes.
Going, yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like.
I've legit been at the point where it's like, she could come over or I can nap.
Yeah.
I could legit get some sleep that I've been missing.
And sometimes the nap is a lot better.
A lot better.
And it's always a lot less stressful. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Nico White, thank you for coming on.
Brother, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to have finally done the podcast.
I am too. @NicoWhite93. Go follow. Get involved. 1025 headlining New York Comedy Club. You want to do some news with us? Is that cool?
I'll do some news with you.
Shelby, hit it.
You guys ever have a dream where something's happening in your dream and you kind of wake up still half asleep and you go kind of do that thing?
Yes.
Like, oh, there's somebody breaking in, and then you go up and you're kind of rushing to the door. Weird like that. Or even a milder version.
Something milder, but yes.
I understand where a dream feels so real that you have to like go, wait. Mm-hmm. Get your bearings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
You're late for a gig and then you realize, oh, it's 3 a.m. I'm not.
I had a very lucid dream like that once. I did an edible and fucking, I thought that I was running from something and then fucking popped up in bed, fucking arms flailing.
Okay.
Like so I was about to get up out of there.
So Nico's definitely been there more than me, but I understand.
Yeah.
Well, one woman, somebody's fiance, she was engaged, had a dream where a bunch of bad guys showed up and were going to rob her.
Okay.
She's getting mugged.
A bunch of bad guys. Go ahead.
So to protect her 2.4 carat engagement ring in the dream, she swallowed it. But
oh, my God.
I don't even want to.
The thing is, she was not just a dream. She was not getting robbed, but in real life, she woke up, was freaking out, and swallowed her engagement ring.
So, I mean, isn't that a reason? I didn't know you slept with the ring on.
A, and B, I don't know how you could just wake up and do that.
Yeah.
How did you not choke?
Well, I guess if you were running, then
I didn't leave the bed.
She might have like gotten it to the throat part and then just gulped.
Mm-hmm.
That was a small ring.
How do you get that ring out?
Shit.
Her fiance, she woke him up. They kind of laughed about it and they took her to the urgent care for an upper endoscopy.
Oh my God.
And doctors retrieved the ring, and they got it back 2 days later.
Oh, ew, that's nasty.
That's one of those where it's like, what else was that husband going to do? Like,
right.
It's funny that a husband in that position, like the first thought is like, that's hilarious. I can't believe you saw that.
Now I'm go get my ring.
I'm wondering, get that ring. You better get it fucking back. I'm wondering how a woman would respond to that, like, I swear, I woke up, and like if his ring was missing the next day, and he was like, no, 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 I had a dream.
She would check your poop. She would get some gloves.
Oh, yeah, you slept. And you had a dream of bad guys. That's how you protect the house.
Take this laxative, motherfucker.
Yeah.
We're going to see if this ring pops up.
If that ring doesn't come out of your ass, your ass is fucking
You're
done.
You're out of here.
You're out of here. Like, I'm wondering how fun that would be reversed.
All
you know?
I know is that I'm keeping the ring from now on. Like, she gonna still be my wife. We still married, but I'm putting the ring on the keychain.
It's like when people put a lock on the door of the fridge so that they don't eat at night.
Yeah.
She's gonna put a lock on the ring.
Like, but did she not gag? Did she not choke? What's her fucking, like, I don't know, man. That's just awkward as hell to me.
That's a funny way for women to talk shit about someone's engagement ring. I bet you she could swallow it.
I bet you could swallow that shit.
Dumbass.
You know her mom probably, oh my God. Her mom is probably making all those jokes. Like, small enough to swallow it, I see.
Shall we got more?
We do.
All right.
This one's another bit of a horror story.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Did you guys ever adopt? Even consider such a thing.
I was just talking about this the other day. Of course I would. And then, you know, what's crazy is...
So nice.
I would adopt. It would have to be, you know, specific to, like, a situation, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would want... But I think I would... I think adoption is a great thing. And, of course.
I would adopt only to prove... there's a certain point that I've always wanted to prove that family... is in quotations, right?
Okay.
You don't necessarily have to be blood related to be family.
Okay, I think that's nice.
That's always something that I've felt. So I would adopt one kid, but I would want that kid to be so different from like me. You know what I mean? Like adopt a young white kid from somewhere in the middle of the country.
A fuck boy.
Raise him hilarious. Then raise him up in the blackest way possible.
Yeah.
Just to get him that duality of what the world thinks your perspective is versus what your actual perspective is.
It would be funny to see how he would be responded to.
Yes.
You
exactly.
know, like his experience, man. Like I don't even know. He would come back and be like, well, yeah, that's how my family did dinner. And then people would be like, this is problematic.
Right.
You're culturally appropriating.
But
and,
to watch those people have to live and while being wrong. Because I grew up in the projects and people assume that like the projects here in New York don't have any white people in it. The white people that grow up in the projects, you'll get like two extremes. You'll get the ones that get old, like older white people that grew up in the projects in like the 50s and 60s when Roots was out. Some of them have no sympathy for what black people go through because when the racial tensions hit, they got bullied at school. They got beat up. So they were never in a position where they saw black people as lesser than because they were surrounded by them. They were always in power. So when they hear shit about like the cops and all that, they don't want to hear none of that. Oh, well, you were the victim. It's like, you made me the victim when we were in school.
Interesting.
And then you had the other side to where my boy, I'm going to call him White. For this, but he,
Chad,
yeah, he grew up so close to us,
yeah,
that he says nigga and all that shit, and no, nobody stop him.
Hair pulled back, big hoop earrings,
bro. Yeah. If you try to tell this nigga that he's not black, he will fight you in the fucking street.
Really?
In the
street.
And
would you defend him?
Yes,
yeah,
because to him, it goes back to what I said about family, they raised him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
it was positive. It was never negative. They never made him feel left out. We gave him the nickname White, but that's only because somebody else already had his given name.
See, sometimes I get a little perturbed when someone will be like, "Oh, I grew up around Jews."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm always like, "Okay, I get it."
What they usually?
I went to a lot of bar mitzvahs growing up, and I go. No, you didn't have a fucking mom down your back like I did.
Right.
You know, like you didn't
have
the same...
Well, they use that to justify bad behavior, and that's the part that pisses you off.
Yeah. Well, they go, I understand.
I grew up around Jews. That's why I say the K word. It's like, no. No, that's not how the fuck that works.
Well, it doesn't get that bad, but I understand what you're saying. So what do we got going on?
Christine Barnett. Have you heard of her?
No.
She wrote... the book The Spark: A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius and Autism, about her son Jake. It's a bestseller, and she even was on 60 Minutes in 2012 talking about it.
Okay.
What word?
Her and her husband, they decided to adopt a young daughter from the Ukraine in 2010.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They are now being charged with child neglect. After they left the daughter alone and moved to Canada and claimed that she is not a child, but actually a 22-year-old woman.
Come on.
I'm sorry, what?
Hold on. I have to tell you something.
Yes.
The reason I was talking about adoption the other day, you know, Jess, my girlfriend, was like, "Would you ever want to adopt?" And I was like, "If the situation," kind of in the same way I answered that. And then I got a text from her later being like, "Oh, my God, I forgot. Remember, have you ever seen The Omen?
The Orphan.
The Orphan.
The Orphan.
The Orphan.
I seen that creepy ass movie.
So I guess The Orphan is about this family adopts a kid, and then the kid tries to kill him, but the reveal, spoiler alert, is that the orphan that they adopted was actually like a 20-year-old psycho.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That had like dwarfism or something like that.
Hilarious.
Or whatever the affliction that the person had to make him look young.
Yeah.
But, and she goes, "We can't adopt." That was her, like, you know, and
first,
I was like,
first of all,
you're crazy.
Tell wifey, marvelous work. Like, if I could use both hands, she'd get a whole applause break now. Because that's fucking hilarious.
Because I was like, this is a crazy text from her. And now you're telling this story.
And one hour of the day, she's like, "Yeah, we could definitely adopt." 6 hours later, "Now, fuck that shit. Yeah. If it don't come out of me, it ain't coming in this house."
I watched a fake movie. And then I'm hearing this. I'm going, and I'm thinking, well, you're fucking out of your mind. And then it really happened?
This might be the same story, dog.
It might be based, the story it was based off of.
This was made after.
Okay.
The movie was made previous to her being adopted.
Okay.
They adopted Natalia when she was supposedly 6 years old.
Okay. I don't believe no 6-year old is ever named Natalia. Give a fuck.
What a weird way to deal with it. Just leave her behind. Good luck. Yeah. We're out.
Happy birthday to how old? 21. Oh, get your shit. We're going to Canada.
We're out of here.
Since she was terrorized by the girl for years, she would make up statements and draw pictures saying she wanted to kill the family members, roll them up in a blanket, and put them in the backyard.
If you 22 looking 6, first of all, you're going to learn to respect me.
Oh. She has a form of dwarfism.
That's what it was. So this is literally
this
the movie.
This is literally the
she
movie.
She says, "I saw her putting chemicals, bleach, Windex in my coffee and asked her, 'What are you doing?' She said, 'I'm trying to poison you.'"
Well, at least she was honest. "What are you doing?" "Bitch, I'm trying to kill you.
Don't
isn't
you
it
know
obvious?
What I've been doing here?"
She said that she told the Daily Mail that Natalia was a woman. She had periods, adult teeth, and never grew a single inch, which would happen with a child with dwarfism.
Wow.
I'm not
crazy.
Laughing at the dwarfism. I'm laughing at the audacity of this little bitch.
So this woman was on 60 Minutes, like, basically saying that she she had a genius, and that's the other kid, but not this kid?
Correct.
Well, how's the genius holding up?
Yeah. That genius should have seen this right away, right?
Yeah.
No, but the genius had autism, right? Is that what it...
He did.
Well,
some do.
Shout outs to the genius.
What a scary thing to live in the house.
It wouldn't have been. I'd have beat the shit out that dwarf.
Sister.
You got a new sister, and then you wake up. This bitch is putting chloroform in your coffee.
So they get charged with child neglect?
They had to drop the charges.
In had to have.
2013, they abandoned her in an apartment.
Well, she was a weird way to handle your situation.
After they were able to legally change her age to 22.
Whole story is so fucking funny.
But they paid her rent. Like, they were like, here, we'll
nah, bitch, you gotta be homeless.
We're fucking off.
You ain't about to put Clorox in my coffee, and I'm gonna pay your rent.
See, I'm always a little bit wary of any story where you go, yeah, go to the police. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is, okay, hey, now's the time where this, like, what happened that they felt the need to pay her rent? And
that's how scary she was.
They were... this happened in 2014. They were just arrested recently for the neglect. Like, this was found out. And attempts to track down Natalia have been unsuccessful.
Well,
that bitch is some way of putting Clorox and coffees and Starbucks around the country.
Well, we're all talking about this story right now. To get ahead of this, we're talking about this story right now with the information we have.
Yes. So as far as we know, little Natalia was trying to kill the people that were nice enough to adopt her.
It seems that Natalia wasn't in the right. Maybe they find her, and I hope they find her because you don't want her dead.
No, I just don't want her, like, going in supermarkets, putting Clorox and water bottles and closing them shits for the public to buy.
Oh, my. What a story. What brought that up? So they just got arrested?
How mad would you be if you got arrested when you know she was putting Clorox in your coffee and was also a whole grown adult?
Yeah, she's 40, still getting mad at them.
It's almost like the bagel boss shit. Because, look, I've been tall my whole life, and short people have always been really, like, mean about it. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, really? They come at you, well, the same thing we were talking about, where they come at you harder.
So hard.
So that you won't make fun of them. They get the joke out.
But I was never trying to.
Sure.
They were always so mean. So, like, when it came to people, like, I didn't feel sorry for the little bagel boss dude, and I don't feel sorry for young Natalia, because that's such a shitty way of being.
Well, he's just a 5-foot asshole. Here's her, if you want to.
He's an asshole, but she was also putting, like...
She does look like a child, but, I mean, that's scarier.
That's scary because she's older than me.
Yeah.
They said the mom was like, oh,
that's frightening.
Let's have a bath, and she had, like, a full bush. And
no, stop it. Then,
I swear to God.
Stop
it.
Says
it in the story.
That's in the story?
It says
what website are you on?
It says pubic hair, not full bush.
Full bush.
Okay. Jesus, I editorialized.
All right, that's the end of the news. A full bush. CNN.com doesn't have full bush written.
We write to edit.
My nigga. My nigga.
Thank you for bringing the news. At Classic Shelf on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Those poor parents.
Nico White, thank you for coming on.
Brother.
At Nico White 93. Go follow, go support. Fucking hilarious.
Oh,
thank you.
And listen to the Potterhood podcast. I have a podcast all about Harry Potter. So.
Oh, really? What's it called?
Potterhood. The Potterhood podcast.
There it is.
Everything.
Get it involved. I'm Jared Fried. Every Tuesday and Friday, keep spreading the word. The album, go listen. Always a Mama Bear. Just on anything. It's on all this stuff. Appleton, Wisconsin this weekend. Get your tickets, jaredfried.com. We'll be back next episode. Boom.